SuperstarWomen.com. I'm Birgit Ratzchunk, bringing you the top superstar women in internet marketing. You can listen to them in any order, so go ahead, enjoy, and learn, and then take action.
Today we're going to be talking with Liz Roberts. I met Liz at a conference about a year ago, and I was really intrigued because I could tell she had an amazing online business that she was running. This is the dream type of business that we all want to run. And the other thing that surprised me was just how she just did her own thing. She wasn't getting all wrapped up in the newest, shiniest thing coming out, or even with people and the gurus and talking. She just stuck with her own business and kept working on it. I really think it's a privilege for us to be able to listen to her. She is a real expert at doing outsourcing. Who she heavily relies on is all of the workers that she has running her sites in other countries. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I'm so glad to have you with us. How did you get started?
Well, I got started with internet marketing a long time ago. My dad and I used to have a little hobby that he would create sites and I would help him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a database programmer.
So it runs in the family.
Yeah. So he would create the sites, and this is years before Google, and I would learn to drive traffic. He just wanted people to come and look at stuff and read his articles, and so he was going to concentrate on design and getting the site up and creating a backup database to run the site, and I was supposed to study search engine optimization. And then back in those days, it was for Alta Vista.
Oh, okay. Quite some time ago.
Yeah, AOL NetFinder used to be our biggest traffic.
Oh.
So we, from that point on, you know, I just fell in love with doing, like, SEO stuff and creating sites. I put a few little information websites up and was driving traffic to them, and I was running a consulting business at the time, and one day I just realized that the affiliate stuff that I was doing was making just as much money as my consulting work, and I wasn't even, you know, I hadn't even touched it in months, and it was just like a wake-up call, because somebody had sent me an email to tell me that there was a lot of broken links on my site, and I saw that it wasn't the site itself that had broken links, but the programs I had been promoting. So I went in there, I fixed them, and the next month I was like, oh, wow.
Getting more money.
Yeah, and steadily it just kept going into the point that I was like, let me see if I dedicated a few hours a day to these sites, what would happen? And I just stopped doing my consulting work.
Oh, and that's when you went underground and disappeared into hard work.
Yes, yes, yes. I realized that I could, because with that, as a consultant, I was spending way too much time chasing clients and you know, making phone calls, follow-up phone calls, overnighting stuff. I was at FedEx all the time, and it was just annoying. So now, you know, as an affiliate, I make my money at home.
And when you say affiliate, do you go to places like Commission Junction for finding programs?
Yes, Commission Junction, ClickBank. There's all kinds of really great affiliate networks out there, and there's pretty much an affiliate network for every niche. You just have to go to Google. You don't even have to look too hard for them. They're popping out.
Oh, okay. So I would just go in Google and then put in, well, give us one example, for example, maybe.
Let's say you were looking to do a site on anime. My nephew is, he's really into Japanese anime, and he's putting up a little website, and he's found people that he can, you know, his mom had to sign up. He's not old enough, actually, to get a mm-hmm. commission check and everything. But he found people that would sell videotapes and things like that of his favorite animes. And he found companies that will even drop ship for him underneath his name. So they signed up for those, and all they did was look up for, you know, drop shipping anime program or affiliate program, anime.
Oh, okay, I see. So that's what the majority of your business is doing, affiliate marketing?
Yes, the majority right now. We're branching out and we're doing some different things with drop shipping ourselves, and I've been going to Asia, so we'll probably have some products soon of our own that we'll be selling online.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what you do on a typical day?
On a typical day, because I outsource most of my work, I start the day off just going through everybody's reports from the night before, analyzing their work, checking some of their backlinks and everything, just making sure everything was done the way I like it, and that no one's goofing off. And after that, I probably take a look at my website statistics to see what's going on with the site, if there's anything I need to, like if the traffic is down on one site, I try and see why is that, and I'll make a note of it to send out to the girl or the guy that's handling the site to go out there and prop up that keyword, find out why it is that we dropped in the search engine for it. So, I still like to do my SEO kind of stuff, something I enjoy doing, mm-hmm.
Where do you find out the statistics?
We use Google Analytics and StatsCounter.com.
StatsCounter?
No, StatsCounter.
Oh, Counter, StatsCounter.com. Okay. And then those are free services that everybody can have access to, right?
Yep.
Okay, good. And then when you say you're looking up the keyword, can you tell a little more detail what you have to do with the keywords and why that's so important?
Well, when I look at the keywords, like I could log into StatsCounter, which is the quickest way I do it, is that I have pretty much all of my sites underneath probably 3 or 4 different StatsCounter accounts. I log in, I take a look at their numbers, and then you can, within StatsCounter, you can click on the website name, of course, and it tells you what your popular pages are, what page they came in on, the exit page, keywords that they came in on, and you could, look at recent keyword activity, and you can see the date, the time, who sent them, Google, AOL, whatever, and then the keyword that they came in on and what page they landed on. Then you can go into recent visitor activity and see, see how long they stayed on the site, if they went from one page to the other, pretty much anything you want to look at. You could even see that, right now I can look in here and on my website in the last 2 minutes, I've had a couple of visitors from the U.S., Massachusetts, New York, Vegas, Canada, and you could kind of see where they came in on. They were using Firefox, their OS is Windows XP, or they're using Microsoft Internet Explorer 6.0, 7.0, 6.0, Safari, just so that you could kind of, I like to look and see what kind of browsers they're looking at, and then I can't remember the name of the site, but you can do a search in Google for see my site in multiple browsers. And then I look and see, because just recently there was something wrong with Internet 8, where one of our sites, when you came to the site, it was you could see the just the bones of the site pretty much. You could see our header. And then for some reason it was put in a huge white space. So almost the whole top part of the site, without scrolling, was all white. You had to scroll down to see our content.
Oh, I see.
So we realized that. A few people were kind enough to even email us and tell us something was wrong with the site. We looked at it and we fixed it. But we knew right then that Internet, just by looking at our stats counter, that more and more people have upgraded into the Internet Explorer 8. So we needed to make sure that we still looked good in it.
Oh, that's interesting. So always being aware. I think what I heard out of what you're saying is that by doing this every day, it gives you a good sense of what's going on in your business and that you do need to monitor what's happening in it.
Yep. I like to look and see, especially if I could see a keyword in the stats counter that I was not expecting to see. If it's a new keyword, I like to see, I go in there, I look at it, I pull out the Market Samurai do some keyword research on it and see if it's worth optimizing.
And then when you say you see a new keyword, that would mean to get to your site, you can see on the stats counter exactly what word they punched in and how that your site came up for that particular word, right?
Yep, and you could click on the word itself within stats counter, and it will take you to the page in Google or Yahoo or whatever to see what page they came in on. Like sometimes I might see somebody came in on a keyword that we don't optimize, but they were on page 6 of Google. And I'm like, is it even worth optimizing for this keyword? And if it's worth it, there's enough traffic, then we'll optimize for it and just add it to our list of keywords, active keywords. But if it's not, it was just a fluke.
Yeah, and in order to find out if it's worthwhile, you do that by doing what?
I use a software called Market Samurai. It's a great piece of software, and it's easy to use. I loved it because with each purchase, which was only $97, we were able to get 2 licenses for each, so I could install it on 2 computers. So I gave it to all my outsourcers, and each one has 2. And I talked to the people at Market Samurai, and I said, if I fire one person, what is there the ability to take that license so I can give it to the next worker or something? And they were real helpful. They were like, yeah, sure, just let us know which one it is. And they would basically delete it. And whoever has the other license, they wouldn't be able to use it, but they would give me a new license for the new employee and the old one, you know, the old one that's still with us.
Oh, that was nice of them.
Yeah, they said that that's just part of what they know, that a lot of people outsource their keyword research and stuff, and that's just a normal thing. It's like when you're outsourcing, I've been blessed. I have a great team where most of my team members have been with me for 3 years and counting, but a lot of people tend to have a lot of turnover.
Mm-hmm. You also have me curious, how do you keyword optimize?
The software does it really easily. I mean, it's like you just go into Market Samurai, you put the keyword in, and it will it would say keyword, title. It creates the whole thing. You tell it what country you're in, like if you want to do it just for the U.S. or if you want to do it for worldwide, or you could do it for specific country. And then you just basically, there's a bunch of tutorials on it. So it could be kind of intense getting into it, because for me, the first few months, I didn't read the instructions. I didn't watch the video. I was just going in there looking to see where my, using the rank tracker and using the keyword research tool to just kind of see if I could find any low-hanging fruit. And then I just started watching the tutorials and realizing I was missing out on a lot of features. This thing has a lot of features. I'm still learning it, so I don't want to say anything wrong to anybody, but it's a great piece of software, and it's inexpensive. It's, you know, after being in this industry and seeing so many tools out there for, you know, $4,000, $5,000, which pretty much aren't worth it, to find somebody putting out a tool that is essential for anyone that's doing any kind of work online and selling it for $97, and then constant upgrades, constant. I mean, within this thing, you could even, it'll find you content for your site. So, like, it'll go out there based on the keyword that you are using and do a quick search and give you content. And the PR of the content, the keywords it's researching, everything. It even has, it will find backlinks for you, and it has PR, how many links are going to that page, how many links are going off of that page. Within the rank, was it rank tracker? No, within the SEO competition tab, you can compare your site to your competitors' age, how many backlinks they have towards the page, how many backlinks they have on their site, everything that you need to take a look at. You can even look at the linking partners from within it. So it pretty much combined all of these things that I was doing separately into one. And so if anyone's doing any kind of keyword research, and they should definitely have a copy of the Market Samurai.
Great. Is that $97 a month or $97 and that's it?
97, and that's it.
Oh, wow. Do you have an affiliate link for that?
No, I haven't really set that up. It's a great program, though. I might contact them at some point. But I already felt like it was such a great product. I tell people about it all the time.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Well, you mentioned that you, I'm assuming you got super busy early on, and that's why you decided, gee, I need to get a worker. What was the process in you deciding to hire people, and how do you go about it? And also, if you can teach us how to go about and hire someone. That's a big, long question, but anyway.
Well, I was at a seminar, and it was like I met this guy who was doing AdWords. He was a PPC guru, and I was sitting there talking to him, and I asked him, you know, I'm doing all this stuff on my own. The sites are starting to suffer. I'm starting to suffer because there's so many of them that I never can get down and get any sleep. I can't even leave my house. And he was just sitting there, and he laughed, and he goes, well, if you could keep a secret, I'll tell you how I do it. And I said, okay, what's the secret, John? And he told me about a company called Agents of Value out in the Philippines. And that company is run by a really nice guy. His name is Danny Sullivan. We've become really good friends. It is a place where people can go find link builders, webmasters, programmers, designers, virtual assistants. And Danny keeps the rates really cheap. It's around somewhere around $800 a month, and you'll have somebody working for you that's monitored. They've got a computer. They've been trained. But, of course, with anybody, you have to train them up some more. And, you know, somebody's just there doing your work 8 hours a day.
And are there other places that we can also go to? I know people often will talk about India.
I tried India. I didn't like India. You know, there's you might want to talk to Howie Schwartz. He does some stuff out there in India. And he's been successful with it. I like the Philippines because the English was really good, and my experience with them was really good. My experience with the workers I had out in India was that they, at first, they were doing some writing content and blog posts for me, and those were, like, wonderful. The English was wonderful. So I was letting them go do their own thing. But I would go back, and I would check their work, and I started noticing on the second or third week, the English was going downhill fast. I mean, it was going downhill fast, and it was connecting to my website. And I was just like, whoa, what's going on? And I contacted the company, and they were like, oh, we'll check on that for you. And I noticed for a few days the content got good again, and then it went down again. So I realized that, you know, they probably put somebody that's really good on your site to just kind of hook you in.
Mm-hmm. And then change.
Yeah. And so I just was like, I fired them, tried another company, and got similar results. And then I started up with Agents of Value. Well, I was with Agents of Value at the same time. I just was like, okay, this is costing me at that time, I think it was $600 and some odd a month, while the people in India were talking about $400 or $500. I thought maybe I could save a little money by going with India. But I realized that the quality of the work wasn't good. I wasn't getting good quality work. While with my agent in the Philippines, I was getting much better quality.
I see. How do you go about hiring someone? What do you do? Do you ask questions? Or what's the process in that?
Well, we used to just exclusively buy or hire people from Agents of Value, but we've also gone on sites like Best Jobs. And right now, for most Americans, honestly, Craigslist and Odesk are pretty much the only ones open. The Philippine government and these companies are starting to crack down on Americans that go into places like BestJobs.ph. You used to be able to buy a membership there and post your job request there, but they cracked down on that, and now they only want Filipino companies that can offer insurance and pay, of course, the taxes on that work to advertise there.
Oh, so it's become an issue now.
Oh, yeah, and it's going to become a bigger issue as time goes on, because even Job Street, which is like the Craigslist of the Philippines, has cracked down on Americans going in there. There was a lot of problems. There was a whole lot of problems. And so now I guess the government is cracking down on them, and then they in turn are cracking down on not just Americans, but anybody that's not based in the Philippines, you know, that's not paying taxes on their worker or providing any kind of benefits or SSI.
So how are we going to be able to outsource our work then if it's
there's still places like Odesk, Elance, where you can still find Filipino workers, just that I know that there's some people that are still going to go on bestjobs.ph. You can't go on bestjobs.ph anymore, you know. So I'm just giving some updated information, but there's Elance, there's Odesk. There's a lot of different outsourcing outlets out there. You just need to go out there, do your research, and find them, you know, and you will be able to find your worker. You need to, kind of know what your budget is, too, because there's some outsourced workers that you're going to be able to find on Odesk that I think the average Filipino worker on Odesk is asking for, like, $2.50 an hour, which is average, you know.
$2.50?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And with Odesk, one of the things that's good about Odesk is that you have their software that runs there. In fact, if anyone was getting ready to do any kind of outsourcing, I would say start off on Odesk, because it's almost got training wheels because of the software that it has installed, where you can monitor your worker. It has a software that runs on the worker's desktop that takes random snapshots of their screen. So you can take a look and see what your worker's doing. And if you see that they're goofing off, you can fire them. If they're working out well, you know, you can kind of see which kind of sites they're going to. And, you know, just monitor what they're doing. It's a great place to start training yourself on how to manage a worker. As I was telling you, we're coming out with our own software that is similar to Odesk. But with Odesk, the worker has the ability to delete screenshots. Supposedly, you are not charged for those when they start deleting screenshots. Supposedly, Odesk takes that time off of your tab. But like I was telling you earlier, we had one lady working with us, and we made her submit a timesheet along with all of her backlinks and everything daily. And her timesheet to us showed 4 hours, but Odesk was charging us 6 hours for her work, you know. So it was kind of one of the things that kind of started making me think, wow, she deleted some of these screenshots. I could see that. And it was supposed to, of course, come off my time, but it never did. We just decided we were going to go ahead and start developing our own software so there won't be any deletions of screenshots. We also have a keystroke monitor, so you could kind of pretty much, if they're writing in English, you know, you can read whatever it is that they're writing about. If they're chatting with friends, they usually do it in Tagalog, and you can't read that. But I usually have one of my other workers go in there and tell me what they're saying.
Spying, right? I guess all of this software can be used for other means, too.
Yeah, well, it only runs when they're logged in. That protects their privacy. Plus, who really wants to know, at least for me, I really don't want to know what they're doing on their off time. That's their own business, you know. I don't want to be involved. If they're, you know, but as long as they're, the reason the software came about is because with so many freelancers out there, they've learned over the years. I mean, I've been doing this now 3-4 years. And it's the whole industry has changed. At first, you had workers that were really, really dedicated to your site and everything. But as time has gone on and more people have gotten into the market, they've realized that a lot of people, like for me, I'm so hands-on. Every day they need to submit a report. Every day they need to, in that report, it has to say, today I was updating Squidoo lenses. It took me an hour to update 3 or 4 lenses. I welcomed friends. I posted blogs. Here's where I posted blog posts and things like that. It's all detailed, and they have to submit that to me daily. What I was finding is that a lot of other people were hiring workers, but they were expecting a weekly kind of report back. So I was finding that we had a whole bunch of people that were in the CDO as a part of the Philippines, and I had at that time nothing but beautiful women on my team. And so they would talk to the girls, and they would sit there telling them how they're making so much more money because they've got four or five people that they're working for 8 hours a day. But they were always like, oh, but we work 8 hours for Miss Liz because she has this stupid report, you know. They were like, they were trying to see if there was any way of getting around it and everything. And they were just, you know, they didn't know, of course, that the girls were reporting everything back to me, you know. But, you know, I realized right then and there that I needed something to monitor. And even as we hire, because I try to hire at least one or two people every 2 months just to keep my team growing. But we could have great interviews going until I tell them about The Guardian. And I tell them, yeah, we're looking forward to having you on the team. You passed all of our tests. We always give them written tests and everything. And we're going to send you the login to our Guardian software. You have to download it. It only runs when you are logged into the software, just like Odesk, you know, because I always make sure that they're familiar with Odesk and how that software works, just to kind of see where their mindset is, if they know all about that kind of software and everything, and they're not afraid of it. And then if I tell them that during the hours that they're working with us, they have to be logged into this software, some people just are like, no, we won't do it. And I'm like, well, if you're working 4 hours for me straight, you know, if they're a part-timer or 8 hours for me, what's the problem, you know? And then we had, like, one girl go, well, I would do 4 hours for you, but it might not be 4 hours in a row. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, I see. And it has really cut down on the number of people that we hire that just don't work out, because you never see the productivity with somebody that's working for several people at the same time. You keep thinking maybe the site just isn't taking off. Maybe the keywords are too bad. No, you've got a worker that's splitting her time between you and five other people. You know?
Oh, so that's why. Well, this sounds like a great program that you've developed. And when do you think that'll come out in this year sometime?
Well, the program was developed by Danny and I. We've been testing it, and it will be coming out this year. I think that they're going to be rolling it out with Agents of Value people first, an add-on to their service that you can request screenshots and monitor your worker through there. We're going to be rolling it out to just normal businesses before the year is out, probably sometime in November.
Oh, okay. That's an exciting project.
Yeah, I think that it's going to help productivity, and it's going to help people who are trying to outsource successfully. Because I think I've talked to some people who are just outstanding marketers, but they haven't been able to put together the outsourcing portion to their satisfaction. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that you really don't know what they're doing since they are not in your office. They're not in your office. They're not in your home. You don't know if somebody's sitting there, especially if they're working for you during the day. Like our day is, of course, their night. So how do you know they're not really sleeping? You know, you could send them an IM and everything. But I was really surprised to see that a lot of people were even telling me that when they're working for U.S. companies, their employer doesn't even IM them during their shift, you know. And I'm like, oh, that's odd. You know, how do you know they're there? But
so I guess some people just have a lot of trust and just let it go and hope that the work is produced.
Yeah, but you know, in the business, trust is wonderful. Trust is built up and trust is earned. And you really have to keep an eye on it, especially when you're outsourcing. When you realize that so many people, like for an outsourced person in the Philippines, being able to have three employers paying them anywhere from 12,000 to 20,000 P each, they're raking in the dough, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're raking it in. They're pretty much considered rich at that point in the Philippines.
And there are a lot of people getting into this, like in the Philippines, that people are learning the skills that are necessary to be doing business online?
Yes, lots of them are. And some of them, that's why we test. When we hire somebody, if we find a resume off of Craigslist or something, and we go through the process, it's usually myself and my project manager will get this person on Skype or Yahoo chat or Gmail chat, and we will interview them. We have tests for everything, and they're timed. So,
mm-hmm.
like, if this person says to me that they're an experienced link builder and that they're looking for 20,000 P a month, because of all of their experience. And 20,000 P is pretty high, although it's starting to become the norm for somebody with some experience, you know.
Okay.
That's about $400 a month without fees, conversion fees and everything, and wire transfer fees. So if they tell me that they want 20,000 P, I tell them, okay, what kind of experience do you have? How many years? And they can sit there and tell me all the stuff that they've done. Well, everyone needs to remember to take anything that people tell you online with a grain of salt, you know.
Okay.
So we then tell them, okay, here is our link builder's test. You have 45 minutes to complete it. And it's a test that my own project manager took. And the first time she took it, and she knew that most of the answers, it took her about 45 minutes to do it. So I was like, okay, if they're on the same caliber as my project manager, then that's cool. But in most cases, they can't do it unless they know it. Even if they go into Google and start doing the searches, putting the sentence into Google and searching it out, it's going to take a little bit of time. And, I'm sorry, it's at the link builder test that we give them 45 minutes. We give them only 20 minutes on the link builder test. Webmaster stuff, we give them a little bit more time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But on the link builder, it's like 15, 20 minutes. And then we tell them, and we don't tell them that we're going to test them until they're in the chat with us. We always tell them that the interview process is going to take about an hour.
When you do the interview, is this on the phone or is it in the chat room? Or how do you do an interview?
We do it online in the chat room, you know. I've done a few with Skype, but I like to have, like, a copy of everything that's been said, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
what kind of chat room do you use for that?
Just Yahoo.
Oh, okay. So just, mm-hmm.
And you just basically have to say save all your chats on Yahoo. And then that way, like, later on, I can go through and say, oh, she said this, 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 and this. We can,
mm-hmm.
even if I take notes during the interview process, I can't remember everything, and maybe I might have missed something, so I like to read over it again.
How many people do you have to interview before you find someone?
Oh, my goodness, we kiss a lot of frogs.
Okay, so it is. So it's, well, pretty common, just like what we do, anybody would do in a corporate business, too. They go through hundreds of resumes.
Yes, and lots of tests, because what we found is that most of them couldn't really answer the test questions. They could answer the most basic, but when you get into it, if you're telling me that you've got 2 years of experience and you can't do this in 15, 20 minutes, you don't have that experience.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And then sometimes they might come back with an excuse as, oh, my last employer only had me doing article submissions. So you spend 2 years doing article submissions. You're not really a link builder.
Mm-hmm. Does everybody get paid by the monthly rate or by the hour too?
Well, on ODesk, you don't have a choice. You have to pay them through ODesk. and they get paid weekly on ODesk. When I have them through myself, I pay them monthly, and I pay them through a service called Zoom, XOOM.com, although their fees have gotten kind of high lately, so we are changing to a service called Remit Home. I haven't had a chance to really test them out. I just know that they're cheaper, and you can actually automate everything. So we're getting ready to switch over.
When you're talking about the cost, before you said there's wire transfer fees, and now you said there's cost to work with the companies. Can you give us some information about that so we understand what we have to do?
Yeah, well, with Zoom, they just have like a conversion fee, like just if you're going, like you're going to the bank and saying you're going.
Oh, a currency conversion.
Yeah, currency conversion fee, and they have a fee for submitting to the workers. Bank. Like with Zoom, they get a Zoom number and they can go into the affiliated banks and get the cash. You could also deposit directly into their account through Zoom. But their fee structure is one, they have a cheaper fee structure if you allow them into your checking account to get the money. They have, it's a little bit more expensive if you decide that you want to use your Visa MasterCard. And I pay the extra for Visa or MasterCard just because, you know, I just don't feel good about giving people my checking account information, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's a safeguard.
Yeah. So, and I think that they pretty much know most people go with the credit card option. So, of course, they make a little bit more money. But also, you know, they also have credit card fees that they have to pay for accepting the payment from you.
So it's a bit more, yeah. When you were talking about the structure of a team, Liz, well, I heard you say project manager. Now, who do you have under your project manager? Can you go through what the project manager does and then who's under them and what they monitor and give us an idea of, maybe we can use an example to say we have a dating site and what are the elements that need to be set up to run a dating site?
Basically manages people. You know, because I try and keep in touch with all of my people, but sometimes it just gets too much, you know, especially since I've gone from making them stay up all night so that they can be working on my daytime to I let them work during the Philippines in the daytime. So my project manager is basically me, but at night, you know.
Okay, I see.
You know, she makes sure that everybody reports in. If anybody is sick, they text her phone, you know, or if, like, right now it's typhoon season, and so there's a lot of girls that have either slow connections or no connection. You know, so they always text her cell phone, tell her, hey, I don't have any kind of connection right now. I'll make up my hours. And she monitors those things, too, because I have them make up the hours. There's two rules, you know, some people think it's kind of cruel of me, you know, it's not their fault that they have no internet connection. The typhoon came in and knocked out their electricity. But sometimes it gets to the point, especially in that country, that, like, they might be without connection for a few days, you know, or the connection is really slow. And we have goals that we set each week. And if they're not doing it, then they know that I have to let them go if they can't meet goals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so she monitors them and she basically says to them, look, you're not near a goal or whatever, or on this day you called in and you basically said that you had slow connection and your workload for that day was really, really low. You need to make up some hours here and there and whatever. And she monitors that kind of stuff for me. And, of course, she helps me with the hiring. A lot of times I have them speak with the person in a friendly manner, just like in general, before I join the chat. She gets to know them. That way we can see attitude. Because a lot of people, you know, once they realize that she's also a Filipina, they speak differently to her than they would to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell her things that they wouldn't tell. So after the interview process, she'll tell me what they said, what kind of attitude they have. She doesn't come across as judgmental or anything like that. She just says, oh, we work with freelancers, and she asks them questions about what they've been doing, you know, and she tries to find out if they're currently working with somebody.
So there's a huge trust factor with this person.
Yes, yes.
And then what do some of the other people look after? I know you said they do blog entries. How can someone do a blog entry when they aren't you?
Oh, they do it based on the website that they're handling for me. We have writers that send them content. They read the content. They post it to the blog, and they do the social bookmarking on it just to bring some of the robots to look and see that we have new content and everything. And then they circulate the articles. So they've read the content. They can go ahead and blog about the content. I mean, my girls know so much about U.S. TV and things like that, different niches that we're in, that they could just sit down and blog about it, you know, without me having to monitor it.
And the blogging is important for the search engines.
Yeah, we like to use a lot of blog comments. I mean, you should always keep building. You don't want to be all blog comments coming into your site. You need to go old school, make sure that you've submitted to all the good directories. And I know some people do paid linking, and some even pay bloggers to be on their blog roles and things like that. But they're just basically out there trying to get the content noticed.
Mm-hmm. That in turn draws traffic to the site, right?
Yep.
And how many employees do you have anyways?
Right now we have 11.
Okay, so then the project manager is monitoring the work of them every day, I guess.
Yep, she looks over. Like, she doesn't monitor our old workers. I mean, we've got 7 of them that have been with us for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't monitor their work as much. It's not necessary. But all the new ones, she monitors. And she looks at their work and says, you should be able to do this many comments, or you should be able to do this, or what were you doing during this time? So,
and what are some more of the jobs that they all do?
We have link builders, we have designers, we have people that just do nothing but update social sites and our lenses, our Scudu lenses, and so hub pages, web page, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple of writers too.
So it's no wonder that you have to have a lot of people. Your role, it sounds like you're overseeing and driving the business.
Yes. Uh-huh. And I come up with the new ideas. I like to do, like, when I was younger, I wanted to be a copywriter. So I like to write copy for my sites and write headlines and things like that. I do the stuff that I like to do. And then anything I don't feel like doing, I give to my project manager.
And the project manager decides which person gets the job or who needs to do it?
Sometimes, you know, like, as you know, I disappear a lot. So
you're always out traveling.
Yeah. So I might tell her, hey, we need a few more of these people. And I might say, I might be available for the interview process. I might not. If you hire them, just let me know, and I'll say hi to them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as part of her training, as being part of a manager, you know, she knows what we do. She's been, for me, I didn't hire a project manager. I hired her as a link builder. She just rose up through the years, you know.
I see. What is a link builder?
Just somebody that's out there linking, building links back to the site, you know.
Okay.
Directory submission, article submission, Scudu, StumbleUpon, just basically finding quality link partners and sending, you know, adding our sites to theirs. And, you know, over the years, you know, she's gone from link builder to webmaster to project manager.
And as a webmaster, what does the webmaster tend to do?
They might do a little bit more keyword research. I mean, the link builders do it, but, like, I have what I call site handlers, and those are people I really trust They have the keyword. They have, like, the keys to the site. They have the passwords. They have everything that's needed to upload the articles. Like, some of our link builders and social sites people, they don't have the logins to the sites.
Mm-hmm.
All they have is logins to social sites for them to update. But the main site, they can't touch. The site handlers do that. And they upload the content, they SEO the content, and they work with the link builders and the writers to make sure that they have good content that's keyword rich for whatever keywords they might have been looking after and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Do the people on your team work all in the same office, or they're working from their home and in different cities?
They work all over the Philippines. They work from home mostly, except for two of them that I still have that are at Agents of Value, and they work there. The rest of them are based all over the Philippines. They have their own internet. They have their own computers and everything, and that's one of the reasons why we need the monitoring software so much is that they are at home. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really be disciplined to work at home. I mean, I love it. I couldn't work in an office, you know. I'm not somebody that's good with keeping schedules, you know. So
mm-hmm.
you tell me to show up at an office every day at 9 o'clock, there's a 75% chance I'm not going to be there. But I will show up eventually, you know. It won't be on time, yeah. And it might not be every day. But with freelancers, you really have to have the mindset that they are freelancers. And if you tell them that they need to work for you 8 hours a day, you either A, have to trust that they're doing it, or B,
mm-hmm.
you have to monitor and make sure that they're doing it.
I see. One thing I was just wondering, how do you go about so they don't steal your work or steal all your lists and things like that? How do you protect yourself?
Only the trusted people have access to AWeber. Our site handlers have that. My project manager has that. Our link builders don't have that. Our social
mm-hmm.
site people don't have that kind of access. You know, I know that some people don't have any qualms about it, but I personally have, I'm the one that looks at the money. When I log into the affiliate sites, I have the, like with CJ, you can have one master account that can see everything. And then you can set up a user account that all they can do is go in there and pull content. Everybody has access to the user accounts. So if they're out there adding a blog post to a feeder site, then even a link builder can log in to CJ and pull an affiliate program from there.
Mm-hmm.
But not all affiliate networks have that capability. They all should, and I'm hoping that more and more of them will start seeing that as outsourcing picks up and more people start outsourcing, that you don't want to have your workers looking at how much money you're making. It could, of course, breed that whole thing where they decide to set up their own site. Well, this is making this much money each month, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It could do that. So that's why I keep all of those kind of logins to myself. And if the network we're using doesn't have the capability to allow them to pull it themselves, I manage everybody through Basecamp. You know what Basecamp is, right?
No. What is that?
Oh, a project management software. It's online.
And, okay.
In Basecamp, everything else is segmented yet again, you know. In Basecamp, you can basically, you set up your company. You can set up your people inside the company, and you give them permissions as to what they can see within Basecamp.
Okay.
So, like with a link builder, they can only see stuff I post about in their site. And if I see a new program I want to promote, I'll put the information that they need there. That
mm-hmm.
way, even if I fire them, somebody else can go back into that. I give somebody else that permission to go into there, and all of the stuff that I've been working on with that worker is still there, you know.
Oh, I see. So you don't have to repeat everything all over. At least there's some form of a record as to what's been happening.
Yeah, Basecamp is a great piece of software. I believe somewhere there somebody has made like a free version of Basecamp. I'm just not sure where it is. But this one, you know, I pay like, what, $50 a month or something, and I can have up to 30 or 40 different projects running within it. And each person has a site that they are link building for or whatever, and they can see within, they could just, when they log into Basecamp, all they see is what I let them see. My project manager can see everything because I share everything with her. But everybody else is limited.
Does the project manager also know how much money is coming in from all of the revenue streams?
No, she doesn't have access to those things.
No.
Nobody has it but me.
Yeah, that's what I would assume everybody would do, right?
Yes. Well, you know, I'm constantly surprised that some people let people into their, when I'm talking to them about their outsourcing and realize that their outsourced worker that they've never met in their life, who they don't monitor or whatever, has access to their money like that, you know. I find that very surprising. But, you know.
Do you hear often bad stories, or it's not too bad?
No. I don't hear any bad stories about it. It's just, to me, it just doesn't make, I don't know. Maybe I'm just suspicious by nature or whatever. But, you know, I just don't want to, I don't want to put temptation in front of them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, how do we protect ourselves? If I'm going to go hire somebody, what kind of methods is there that I can protect myself in a contract? Or do people honor contracts or not? Or what should we do when we first get someone to work for us?
I have a contract, but, you know, They're not going to honor it. Come on. They're in the Philippines. Of course, I have it slanted to me that, like, if there's any arbitration that needs to be done, it needs to be done in Las Vegas. Like, they're really going to come to Las Vegas, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I have the contract there just so that they have a list of rules within the contract that, A, they understand that at all times they're to be put on a monitoring system. They know what their pay rate is going to be. All the rules, you know, they know what time they're supposed to be there, how long they get for lunch, and that we expect that they're not going to be giving our logins to anybody else but themselves, because we've also come across people that seem so eager to work, and then you find out later on that they are part of a network. And so you hired one person, but they're like the beard for the company. They know all the answers. They've had all the experience that they want. And then just like they did in India, they pass the work on to somebody that doesn't have the experience, that doesn't know what they're doing. And so, of course, your work quality isn't as good. So we tell them, we are hiring you, not any of your people that work underneath you. If you have people that work underneath you, you need to get them approved by us before you can have them. You know,
oh, okay.
Stuff. That and if we find out that there is somebody, we'll just fire you with no notice. You know.
Mm-hmm. And are you allowed to fire people just right away? You notify them, what, through email, through phone call?
I fire them through chat, usually. But I usually give them, like, this is your first warning. This is your second warning. This is your last warning. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I mean, they're well aware.
Yeah. Everything is spelled out for them. Some people like to try and say, oh, we weren't aware of this and that. But, you know, I know that if they had read the contract, which I told them to read and sign, and then we have a little fax back number for them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they read it and understood it, then there should be no problems.
Now, how do you keep track of all of your employees? Do you have spreadsheets and worksheets that you assign the job to? I think probably you were mentioning the Basecamp program helps you with that. Is there other ways that you can organize the workflow?
Some people I see using Excel spreadsheets, but how long are you going to really keep those things around? You know, at some point it's going to be 3 years down the road and you're not going to know what you've done. In Basecamp, you can do a search and you can find things. I have everybody, we have a team email, and then they've got a an email that they have to send to me, which comes to me personally, and they basically CC it. But in the team email, that goes to a Yahoo account that we've had for years. So I have every one of those things as a backup in that Yahoo account.
Okay. Do you have a list of all of the work tasks in a certain area so that you know, like, okay, I'm thinking, let's say I go out now and I'm just doing everything myself. Now I'm going to start hiring someone. And I would make a list of all the different jobs that need to be done and then ask one person to do them, or I would start and hire maybe a graphic designer to do just one job and then a webmaster to do maybe 2 hours a week. Do you have a recommendation as to how someone just in home who's gotten too busy would move to that?
Well, it would depend on what they need. Like, I usually like to do things where they are hired and they're working either 8 hours for me or they're working 4 hours for me. Mm-hmm. And with that, I just basically look and see what it is I'm hiring them for. If it's for just a design thing and I'm only redesigning a site and moving the content into that new site, I might make it just a flat fee kind of thing, that go on Elance and say, I'm looking for a designer to do this, and this is the pay that I'm willing to do, and let people bid on it, whatever. If it's something ongoing, like for me, link building is something that you do ongoing. Social sites is something that you do ongoing. Then I usually have an hourly thing, and we base it on the site that they're doing. You have to do so much. On this day, you submit articles. On this day, you do bookmarking. On this day, we want you to do whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned social sites a few times. What names do you mean by that?
I'm sorry?
Well, a few times you've mentioned, Liz, that someone works on the social sites. Is that Twitter and Facebook where they're posting for you?
Yeah, all of those things, you know. Because I personally don't like any of those things. I find
mm-hmm.
them. I like Squidoo. I somewhat like Hub Pages, and I'll play on those. But I'm not particularly fond of Twitter or any of that stuff and don't want to be bothered with it. So I
mm-hmm.
have them do it, you know.
Okay. And they don't do it from a personal sense. Like on Twitter or Facebook, it would be your name there. But what you're using is your niche, your website,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they use the website. Sometimes they use their own names. Sometimes, like, we have a couple of them that just took over somebody that we fired, and they just took over their accounts, and they just keep using the same name and everything. So.
Mm-hmm. And when they use their own personal name, they're driving traffic. They're talking about your site on the social network?
Yep.
Okay. So that's another way of driving traffic then, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they can use their own names. They can make up names if they want to. You know, it's like whoever, like when we first started, we were using people's real names and stuff. So when we let them go, it was a bit of a hassle to, you know, go in there. And some of them didn't care. You know, like some of our freelancers have gone on to running their own teams of freelancers. And that's just one of the natural progressions within this, is that some people are going to see that this is something they want to do and that they can make more money working for themselves, especially if they know that the person isn't, like, monitoring them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they could have as many full-time jobs as they want. But we usually, like, we might make up a name and just say, this name now goes with this site, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that makes sense. You have to figure out a way to get around that issue of people changing jobs.
Yep, exactly.
Is there anything else that you think that we need to look out for when we're outsourcing?
Not to be too eager. Don't start too fast, you know. And this is something I tell people all the time, but they just really don't listen to me. You know, I had a friend recently who I told the same thing. I told him so many times because he hit the ground running. I explained to him how to do outsourcing, I told him, look, when you start outsourcing, don't just hire a project manager. Hire, you know, maybe two or three people, see how it goes. You have to be your own project manager in the beginning. And then based off of work quality, the person's attitude, having them produce things, you know, that's when you start hiring from within, you know. And some people have it, some people don't. I went away for a short little trip. I think I was gone only like, what, 2, maybe 3 weeks? And then I come back and I'm chatting with him. He's hired 9 people, and then he went and he hired a project manager.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and he was paying her more, gave her the title of project manager, but she said she had managed the workers in the past, but she was no good at it. She was actually just a writer. That's all she was, and that's all she should have been. It was a disaster. Within maybe 4 months, he had run out of money. And if he had done it slow and steady, he would have probably still been in the race. But, yeah.
And good lesson. People need to listen to you, Liz.
You know, it's so exciting when you sit down and you can have all these people supposedly doing your work for you. And when you just have to have the safeguards. You have to be willing to monitor them. Weekly monitoring doesn't work. You have to be able to sit down and say to yourself, even if you have a full-time job right now, hey, I can dedicate an hour or two each night to looking over my worker's work and making sure that she's doing what she's supposed to be doing, you know, and checking up on stuff like redoing some of the keyword research yourself, you know, making sure that, because you have to remember they are in a different country and sometimes they use words that we wouldn't, like they use a lot of the word avail. You have to avail yourself of this.
We never use that.
Yeah, we don't. And I've had to break them all of that habit, you know, of using the word avail. But you have to be willing to go in there because one of the things is that they're out there, they're blogging for you, they're writing these articles for you, and they're representing your site. So if you're not reading those articles and making sure that they sound correct, and like every time I get a new writer, I do have a writer that is like a head writer, and she will edit and she'll look over things. But I always, when I get a new one, I'll read their content and I'll make changes. And I'll make notes, you know, like I'll cross things out in red and write notes in the article and send it back and say, this is not how we would say it in the United States. This is something that makes no sense. Where did you get this? Because, like, when I send something to one of my writers, I have a little worksheet that I use. And I say, I'm going after this is the keyword you're targeting. These are 3 sites that I found information about this topic on, and I want you to read all 3 of these sites and write me an original article based off of this keyword for our sites. And then usually they'll write an original article and then an SEO version of that article. The original article goes on our website. The SEO version goes on to the article networks and blogs and all the rest of that.
Well, that's a lot of work.
Yep, for the writers. It all flows in, and it all goes to the top. Like, I have a writer, a head writer, who makes sure that it's getting done. But in the beginning, I like to make sure that they are writing up to my quality, because they are representing my site. You know? So if that means that for the first month or two, I need to be a little bit more hands-on with that person, I don't mind doing that.
Well, it doesn't sound like you have the lifestyle of someone who can sit there and do nothing all the time like I read in all those sales letters.
No, you know. I mean, there's plenty of things to do. I mean, like, I probably don't work as much as most people, you know, and I'm gone a lot where I might not be working for a week or two, you know, but I get back to it. And as long as you've trained your team, they really don't need you that much once you've got them trained up and they have the system in place. They're using the base camp to keep everybody to look and see what needs to be done and everything. And most of them already know what needs to be done. You know, some of them have been working on the same sites for 3 years. They know the site better than I do.
Well, and that's the thing, that you worked hard at the beginning to bring it to this point. Sure, now you have more time available to yourself to do your things. But like you said, the system is in place and the people have been in place. So that's the luxury that comes after a long time of hard work.
Exactly. I read all of these things about, oh, yeah, all you need to do is this, 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 or this, and it, you know, and you have to pay your worker. You're only going to be paying them $200 or $300. That was true, you know, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has changed. You know, you get what you pay for. If you're paying $200 or $300 a month, you're getting a newbie, which means that you have to be more hands on than if you're paying somebody $400 a month, where they are trained. They already know a lot. Even with an agents of value person, you still need to be able to send them some training materials and monitor their work. That's really the key to any successful outsourcing venture, is that you're monitoring your work, you're looking at your people, and you're continually training them. Like, I use a lot of Jerry West stuff for SEO. I love SEO. So I have memberships to his site and to his newsletter, and I read the newsletter, and I share the information with the girls.
Mm-hmm. Did I hear you say you have training manuals?
We use different training stuff. We buy stuff from Howie Schwartz. We buy stuff from anybody that has anything really of value. We buy it. My project manager will read it and condense it. Sometimes she'll even rewrite it in Tagalog so that they can read it easier if somebody isn't as good. But most of them, if they ask me, hey, can this one be translated for me? Then I kind of put them on my list of people to fire, because if they can't read English well enough to understand it without it being translated, I don't really want them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Well, tough boss.
You gotta be. It's not a game, you know. It's a business, and if you want it to work well, you have to be willing to weed out the people that just won't make it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, Liz, you've told us an awful lot about outsourcing, and I wonder, too, just changing topics a bit, where does the actual money come from, though, from the sites?
Usually from affiliate programs and from, like, Google AdSense and stuff like that. Like,
okay.
On our newbie sites, our babies, as we call them, like, we're mostly women. We only have two guys, so we usually refer to our newer sites as babies, And on the babies, we just basically have a lot of AdSense stuff. They're just AdSense ads or AdSense sites until I start seeing their AdSense income increase. And then I start adding affiliate programs to them.
And are you building lists on them too?
Oh, yeah.
Get on AWeber and then continuing to mail out affiliate offers to them periodically.
Yes. My head writer writes up something good every day.
Oh, okay. Let's see here. What else? Do you do joint ventures with people?
No.
No.
I have in the past, you know, but like, you know, I just kind of like to do my own thing and kind of float around. You know, I don't share out my list to anybody. I like for them to be not spammed a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm. When you are building your list, are you're building a list per niche, per website?
Per website.
Yeah, okay, because the topics would be relevant to the one particular site, and I wouldn't imagine that you would mix it very much.
Mm-mm.
No, okay. So now, Liz, I want to ask you, like, how do people make money and how quickly can they make it? Like, if someone is starting out, do you think that they can make $50,000 really fast overnight, or it takes time? What's your recommendation there? How can I go from making maybe zero to 50 or 100 and then making that move to a million?
I'm a bit of a pessimist, you know. There's some people that would be like, oh, yeah, you could definitely do that. I'm like, if you've got a full-time job, you've got a family, how many hours are you realistically going to put into it? Because sometimes when they're sitting there promoting these products where they say that within, you know, a week they made $50,000, they usually had a worker working on it 8 hours a day for several months before, you know,
mm-hmm.
doing the back-end stuff. Or they had huge lists already in there. I think that anybody can make money online if they're willing to, whether they have outsourcing behind them or not. But they need to really say to themselves, how many hours a day am I going to dedicate to this venture? And not everybody is cut out to do it. You know, I met a school teacher that he was specialized in special ed. And mm-hmm. I thought to myself, oh, wow, you know, he's really interested in doing stuff online. He's not making lots of money, you know, and he seemed really dedicated. But when it came down to it, once I had finished having my people create a site, writing content, and I told him basically his part was to also write content, build some links, you know, because I didn't want this to be my project. I wanted it to be our project. He, within a week of handing things over to him, he said, oh, I really don't have the time for this. Because his excuse was that he wanted to do more dating. And I realized that, like, his priorities really were not in making more money, you know,
mm-hmm.
because I had basically told him to give me 2 hours a night for the first
mm-hmm.
few months and then a few hours on the weekend. But he didn't have it. So even though he was like, he still is, looking at all of these things that tell him that he could make $50,000 in by next weekend, he'll never really put the time or the energy into it. If somebody puts time plus energy plus doing all the research and work that goes behind it, they will make money. It may not come up in that first week. It may not be in that second week, you know. I mean, I have a friend of mine who just finally made her first $100. She's been online almost a year, but then during that time, she took off, like when she got pregnant, she took off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was out of commission for quite some time, but she finally just started getting back to it and just made her first $100. But it took her over a year to do that in an affiliate niche. Before she got pregnant, she was working a wedding favor site. She was an affiliate of Brad's, you know,
mm-hmm.
my wedding favor stuff. And
yeah.
It was also, she did a little bit of catering. She makes chocolates and stuff locally. And she was making, her income from that site was about $30,000 a year.
From selling the wedding favors, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Wedding favors and stuff like that. And she just kind of let things go. She just kind of let it go off to the wayside. And then, of course, everybody and their mother jumped into wedding favors. And push your
mm-hmm.
site down and down and down without somebody there to work on it and keep it moving. Of course, her income dropped. And if you don't have that in you, if you can't really commit to yourself that I'm going to do a minimum of 2 hours a night on your site, especially if you don't have somebody working for you, then I really don't see how you expect to do well. Although, you know, people at SBI, they seem to do well, and they don't really do a lot of stuff.
At where? What is that?
SBI, Ken Envoy. Let me see. What is that? I can't remember. But they do a lot of back-end stuff. I'll let you know. I'll have to send you an email on it.
Mm-hmm.
But
when you talked about this woman being pushed down, you mean in the search engines, and what you're pointing out is how important it is that you need to continue to be ranked on the first page of Google. Is that right?
You need to be ranked somewhere. She wasn't even doing so much with Google. She was doing a lot of Craigslist stuff because she was looking more at the local markets, which is easier to get into than the global markets, you know. And she just didn't put any more time in it. She wasn't adding content to her site. I think she pretty much got put in the Google sandbox because the site hadn't been updated in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she hadn't even linked to it from Craigslist in months and months and months. So.
But what that does tell you is how you can make, well, $30,000, a lot of people would be happy to make that in a year. And then if you don't monitor or watch it, well, no, if you don't add to it and continue running the business falls by the wayside.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, like, I mean, I've met people that have indeed had some product and they've done a JV and they've done a launch and they've made a bunch of money and it's wonderful. But after the JV partners are gone, what do you have left, you know? Did you make sure that you SEO'd your site well so that Google is still sending you traffic? Are you doing your PPC? Have you created your social sites? What do you have left after the gurus have pulled away and they're not sending you the traffic anymore? Because if you have nothing, then you don't have a business.
Well, those sales letters don't make it sound like I need to have a business.
yeah, that's what they're there for, I guess, you know, to kind of pull people in. But you really do need to have a business, and you need to have a business plan. You need to have set goals. I mean, all of my girls have goals, weekly goals, and they set them on Friday. They check them on Wednesday. And, of course, we have the results by the following Friday along with the new goals that they need to set. If you don't set those goals for yourself, even if it's like you say to yourself, okay, this week I'm going to finish out my site and I'm going to dedicate this much time to it and that, make that your goal. Mm-hmm. And then on Friday you say to yourself, okay, site is finished. This week I'm going to add content to it, or I'm going to start the article submissions, or I'm going to find an article writer to write these things for me and start building my link backs through articles and directory submissions. And you make a goal of saying, I'm going to do so many directory submissions per day, you know, and just basically building that site and building the traffic and everything. I like to do it the old-fashioned way. It may take longer, you know, but they're more stable. And it's
well, I think your income is significantly higher than many of the people I see at conferences who run a product launch, do this or that. And so I think that says a lot for creating a proper business, and you're just doing all the right things, and you take it seriously, which is fantastic. You've had great success, but you've built it slowly, and it's sustainable now.
I do well online. You know, I haven't worked for anybody else but myself for what's going on 15 years now, and I've been online that long, you know.
That's a long time.
It is a long time. I've seen it come. I've seen it go. There's some great products out there that say, you know, make money right away. I would say that you have to know the guru that you're following. I personally don't follow a lot of gurus. I like the stuff that's put out by Russell, of course, you know, Russell Brunson.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
His affiliate training stuff is top-notch. You're not going to find much better out there. And he always updates them, and the content is always really good because he himself was a super affiliate now. He has his own products. I like Howie Schwartz. He can send out a lot of emails, you know, but his social stuff and the things that he is doing on the social networks, you should be taking note of. I like Jerry West. He's been doing a lot of SEO stuff forever. He is my favorite SEO, and he's doing a lot of stuff now with training. He used to be with StomperNet, and he was their organic SEO trainer. But he just recently left Stomper and is now, I think he's even taken consulting work, which before you couldn't get Jerry to do any kind of stuff, you know. But I think he's going to start training people. He just enjoys it. Those are basically the people I like. There's David Bullock also. If you're into PPC and your conversions, which honestly, once you have the traffic, your next step is to look at your conversions and to work on improving those conversions. And that's where someone like David Bullock comes in. He could help you with all the little A-B split testing that needs to be done. I have some girls on my staff that actually do A-B split tests, but I think that that's a little bit too advanced at this point for a lot of people. But once you've got the traffic going to your site, work on your conversions, because every time you increase your conversions, you're increasing your bottom line without even increasing the traffic going to your site, you know?
Yeah, that's right. When you are writing your business plan every year, do you plan it for 1 year or quarterly or 3 years? How do you plan out your business?
I plan it out annually, you know, with what I think I'm going to do for the year and everything. And then because it's a corporation, I keep my business plan is basically my corporate books. And then I just change it as things have gone on, you know, like other JVs or whatever I've done. I change it as I go along. But I always have, like, at the beginning of the year, I just sit down and think about what it is I want to go for this year, new niches I want to go into, what I estimate it's going to cost and how much time it's going to take to get there, and, and set my milestones. And you can set milestones in Basecamp, too.
Oh, I see. So that sounds like a really good program.
Yep, it is. It's a wonderful program. And they have something called write boards on it, which is where I have a lot of my girls put key passwords and stuff like that on there. That way, even when there's a freelancer who quits, maybe they might get vindictive, you know, but with their, and they want to change the passwords or whatever. But we usually change the passwords before they can do it, but right there in the write board, if somebody's in there, I can see every time a change is made to any kind of write board, and I can see the old version versus the new version. So if they change something there, you know.
So that's a good way to monitor again. So you have a lot of backup systems in all the systems that you're doing.
Yep, we have them upload an Excel spreadsheet, because while they're doing their work, when they're creating their daily worksheets, they have to log all the blog places that they go, all the social sites that they go to, anything that they create, they need to put into an Excel spreadsheet, which gets updated along with the write board.
Well, I don't know what else I can still ask you. I'm running out of questions. Do you go to a lot of conferences?
Yep. I go to a lot of them. I enjoy them. I learn, especially if they're training conferences. Like, I go to Boise every few months. Russell has some, like, just, but these are like masterminds and things like that that you can join. And I go there to see what's going on in affiliate marketing, if there's any new programs that might make things easier. Like this Market Samurai, I totally love it. I learned about it at SEO Revolution, which is a Jerry West seminar, where everybody was in there are top-notch SEOs. And I was learning what they use and what makes things easier, especially since they take on clients.
I see. So I wonder if they all make more money from the training programs or their actual businesses.
I don't know. You know, I know with Jerry, he makes a bunch of money in affiliate stuff. I think he just enjoys it, you know. I mean, I think he enjoys the money, of course, that comes along with you know, doing a seminar, but I don't think he needs the money.
Well, we're lucky that there are people like that, because we need them to be able to train ourselves.
Yep. And it's just that I was just at StomperNet last weekend, and Russell did us a speech, not on affiliate marketing, but how to take a six-figure income business to a seven-figure, and then how to take a seven-figure to an eight. And it was wonderful. It gave me all kinds of great ideas of how to repurpose a lot of stuff already in my business.
Do you have some ideas on how to go from six figures to seven figures?
No, you better keep that with Russell. If you have a question, ask him. You know, I have some notes that I'm still digesting over, you know, but like I'm going to start implementing a few things, and then we have a mastermind in September that I'm going to say, look, this is what you said at the seminar. This is what I understood it to mean. I had the girls do it. This is our results. Where did I go wrong, or what did I do right? What are your thoughts? You know, and that's one of the things that I love about seminars and I love about masterminds, is that you can get such great feedback from people. I have several masterminds I belong to, not just with like gurus like Russell, but with people I've met from different seminars that, like, maybe somebody's a PPC expert, like my friend Kevin, or a link building expert like Chris Baker and his dad. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of people that I like to, you know, when you're at a seminar, it's good to get to network and know people because you never know who's going to give you that great next big aha.
Yeah, and it is just fun to meet people, and these friendships last for years and years.
Yeah, yeah. My friend Kevin Finney and I met him at a seminar almost 3 years ago, maybe longer. It might have been 4 years ago.
That's great.
You know what? It was probably 4 years ago because I think I wasn't even outsourcing at that time when I met Kevin. And he's been doing PPC. He's into Drupal now. He's consulting people that want to do Drupal sites and things like that.
What's Drupal?
It's a content management system. I like Drupal. We use WordPress a lot, but Drupal has a lot of things that I like about it. Like you can give a freelancer, and I mean, this is why I like it. You can give a freelancer a separate login to add content, and yet they don't have the full login to the full site.
Oh, I see. So that would be helpful.
Yeah.
Well, Liz, you know, you've given us just so much wonderful knowledge and a really good overview of outsourcing and how to go about doing it. I really appreciate all of your time and your comments. If anybody wanted to quickly get a hold of you or to find out about your product when it's coming out, is there somewhere that they could contact you at?
Yeah, they can contact me at liz@outsourcingtemps.com.
Okay, great. Okay, Liz, well, thanks so much. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to this series of ExpertWomen.com. I just want you to know that on the hard copy version that accompanies this series, you can get all the websites and products each mentor talked about on the resource page or at www.expertinternetwomen.com/resource page. I hope you got lots of good ideas that you can take action on. See you in the next series.